What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Game Dev Unchained, the number one game development podcast about game development and the lifestyle thereof. I am your host, Brandon Pham. And with me, joining me, not just one, but two special guests, Andrew and Roman. How are you guys doing?
Awesome. Very cool right now.
All right. So this is the part of the podcast where I ask our guests, which is both of you, yourselves, to introduce yourselves to the listeners, viewers out there, who you are, where you've been, where you're heading, all the good background information real quick, just to kind of get us started.
So I think you can make
sure
I can make. So I'm a programmer in our company, Tomar Fantasy Games, programmer and story writer. So I have quite long story how I get there. The main thing is we met with Roman in our university times and found out that we both interested in games, in making. I was playing games a lot in school time, but after that, I just wanted to go in real life and forget about it. But after that, my passion returns back to me. So we created our first project, and I thought this is interesting thing to do in my life. So we started to developing our second game after this. So this is just a brief story. I think further we will discover more interesting things. Roman can continue. I think I am artist and animator of all our projects, Double and Dynapunk, and I even didn't think that I will be an artist because my mindset is very good for programming, but I just had a tablet for drawing, and we decided that I will draw.
Yeah, I always say to him that he will be good as a programmer.
Yeah,
but it happened that I'm a programmer.
It's just two of us in our team, so somebody just needs to draw.
Two of us.
Yeah. The artist looks like is me. So I never learned in art school, so I'm just a self-learner. So the art style of our first game was kind of poor, but in Dynapunk, I think we made a good job in style building, and most of the players are making good reviews about overall retrowave style and overall pixel art style, and I think we had nailed it very good.
I will say that, you know, thanks for reaching out. You know, I'm always in awe and in support of any developers such as yourself, like a small team that is able to have an idea but also finish through an idea, which is a huge
huge case
because you know, you talk to game developers as much as I have, and you just quickly learn of the dreamers versus the doers. Right, and there's a lot of game developers out there that wish and always like dream of like making their own game, but very little actually follow through with it.
Yeah, you know, when you're making an idea or plan, it always seems that it will be quite easy to do this. But through game development especially, you learn how life is complicated. Yeah. And it always turns to the way you don't expect.
Yeah, definitely. Like, there's just, I think a lot of it, you guys seem like young guys. I would love to kind of ask your age. But before that, I do see as developers get older, you know, they real life stuff happens, you know, they get girlfriends, get married, have kids, like all these other things they rather spend their time doing. And so the, you know, it gets harder and harder to dedicate, you know, this project I have in mind to actually, how old are you guys actually? Just kind of get that going a bit.
So we both 28. Roman will be 28 soon. I'm already 28.
Both 20.
When did you guys start working? Well, for the first game and then Dynapunk, like what age were you guys at?
Can you repeat, please?
Yeah. How old were you guys when you guys started your first game and then Dinopoc? Yeah.
In our first game, it was like 7 years ago. 22, I think, or 21.
Yes, pilot.
So, yeah. And we just decided that if we will not make it now, when we finish in our university, of course, in further time, we will have less and less time for this. And for now, is great time to build some kind of reputation or resources so we can maybe, probably make it full time in the future.
That's impressive timing for young people to think ahead like that.
It's the best time to start the game development world because we had our study and we had some part jobs. And after that, we was making our first game. And we started from 2 work hours per day, I think, for Double. And then
Double is our first project.
Yeah, Double is our first project before Dinopoc. And then we was raising up these hours to just fluently increase our game development for our lives. And you was right when you told that this is hard to combine with other stuff like family, like partners, like some job, because we always had our jobs in this whole the game development way. And I have a wife and a young son, so it's a pretty hard to continue to develop. But I think it's always possible to motivate ourselves when the team is really well built.
You're kind of hinting at the differences. I would love to kind of ask more about this. You know, what differences have you guys seen that stand out from when you guys were 22? Creating an indie game to now, right? Just the difference in 7 years. Like, what are the things that you're like?
I think
that are
pointing. We have developed more, more stable and realistic vision of what game is. Because in the first, of course, you try to put all of your ideas. You think it's great. You think sometimes you're a genius. Mm-hmm. And you are the one who created something new and unusual. And when you try to bring it to real life, you notice that some ideas just weren't working. Some ideas were here always, and some people did this thing better and all these things. So the bad thing, I think, we learn from these years is to think realistically on our ideas, because game development is always about fantasizing interesting concepts, playing, and you need to put this to real life frames and other achievements of other people who did this very well, better than us, and teach from them, not be in our bubble.
Yeah, for sure.
I think this is a really good experience we get. And I want to add that I think the most powerful thing for me that I learned from these years is the knowledge how to motivate myself for this long way, because we was making Dinopoc for 4.5 years. And we didn't receive any income. We didn't receive any reviews almost. And it was hard times when you are just not have power to continue and you need to start to motivate yourself. And this knowledge how to motivate yourself is the best thing, because it's very applicable in your everyday life. Mm-hmm.
If you can share some tips, actually, what you know, it might be very personal to you guys of like, oh, this works for me. Mm-hmm. But like when you're finding yourself in those, you know, situations where like, man, I'm tired, you know, I, you know, it's hard, you know, especially I'm third year in, fourth year in, like what kind of things were you guys doing to, was it the discipline? Was it just like, just doing it, not thinking about it? What exactly helped you guys kind of get through these tough moments of finishing the game?
I can say first, maybe. I think the main rule, if you are not the one person developer, talk, just talk with your coworkers and discuss the developer game, because the more you talk about it, the more you involved it and the more you motivate it. Because when you are sitting alone in your room and you are don't know what to do, you just need to throw out your room and just talk with somebody about this game, because this will give you some new ideas. This will give you some new bright thoughts for your future when you will end this project. So I think the best tip that I can give to share, talk with people, show your game, take all criticism and share your development with someone. Because when you do it just by your own, you will lose motivation mostly.
It's easier to distance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Of course.
For me, I think pretty same thing, but I personally did a lot of live play tests. So I was a programmer and also story writer in Dynapunk. So I always had actual build of our game. So I invited my friends to my house and watched how they played this. So I think live showing of your game is the most valuable thing you can do to motivate yourself. Because for what you are doing games, for me, it's about giving emotions. So you need to see how your game brings emotions to people. And bad thing you do, just sit with this person and watch how he play your game. So this is the best thing. And other thing is to reach out for some cool guys. For example, in Double, there was interesting story. I very liked game from Supergiant Games. Maybe you know this studio.
Yeah, I've heard of them. Yeah.
Yeah. So I liked music in these games. They had very good composer, Darwin Corp. So I'm making music by my own also. So I decided, why not write him and show my soundtrack to our first project, Double, and maybe he can share some thoughts. And surprisingly, I wrote to him and he agreed to give some feedback on this on the live. We made some chatting with our webcams. So this was huge inspiration for me. So just think for cool guys you can reach out, and this will give you huge amount of motivation. You will think, I can talk with these cool guys and maybe be as cool as them, maybe better in my way. So that is it.
Yeah, I mean, definitely being surrounded by inspirational developers always help. I mean, you guys are kind of digging into this. I would love to dive into this. The amount of people that I've met, especially indie developers, you know, they've always kind of been a small team. In a lot of cases, you know, remote, right? Kind of working separately, not really in an office together. So it's harder, you know, there are challenges to kind of stay connected to the community, right?
Right. Absolutely.
So were there different ways besides inviting friends over, playing the games, were you guys involved in local game dev scenes in your area? Were there social websites that you guys were constantly in there just to kind of feel like you're part of, you know, just having this part of community that you can rely on for feedback and suggestions?
You know,
motivation?
Honestly, this was not given for us enough feedback, for example, in social activity.
when we had posted some on Reddit or other stuff, we have some upvotes, but this was not huge inspiration in this. Mm. But the main thing we got from this stuff is finding cool people. For example, our composer from Dynopunk found us by himself because we had some posts on Reddit with our visual style. I think we posted a trailer or something like this.
Yeah, something
like that. He just wrote, found us on Discord and said, I like your style. I wrote some tracks for you in my spare time, so you can use it. Maybe we can make some communication. And we were very grateful. His tracks were just awesome fit with our style. And when we have found a publisher, we just suggest them, we can work together. Now we can make you payment for your awesome work.
Mm-hmm.
So just finding good people. In our first project, Double, there was same situation. We posted some Twitter stuff, and the girl from Germany who knows Spanish wrote to me and said, hey, I'm a translator in my free time, and I won't do this my full job, so maybe I can train on your game, make a translation for free. And besides of this, she is very passionate, interesting person. So this was cool motivation too.
That's really cool.
So I think I have one more advice for developers who are not located in the same city or have remote teams. The game dev festivals is the greatest way to show your game because you will meet different types of players and you can get more criticism of your game than just looking of one player at the time. So participating in these festivals is the best way to get some points, issues, or some criticism for your mechanics in a good way, because in game dev festivals, as we noticed, all players are very into the gaming, and they will not just hate your game if it's bad. Mm-hmm. So it's the best way to get some reviews in the early stages if you are not one team in the city, United team.
What were your guys' favorite festivals that you guys were attending? Is it mostly Europe or you guys went to North America?
If we can talk about online festivals, I think the Steam Next Festival was the biggest festival. For offline festivals, we was only in our city, Game Dev Festival. So we was participating in a small festival. So I think it's the best because it's the only one.
Right. And you just set up your laptop or station and
It was a huge, dirty tent, several rows of tables, and it was full of developers like us. Some people bring several monitors and setups. We just took our laptop, and our place was never empty. So
that's really
the whole festival, somebody was playing.
Also, it was outdoor festival, so it was also interesting experience. Do it on the nature.
It was like in a park, so it was a good experience, I think.
And in terms of feedback, were you just asking questions as they're playing it, or did they have to write down on the survey? How would you guys taking feedback?
We just saw reactions of players.
I see.
Just they mimics, they momentum. We have a lot of jokes in our game. So me as writer just noticed what lines of characters bring some emotions to people. And we tried to not distract people from playing and not to give them tips or tutorials during playing, because when you launch game, you can't see it with other player and say, you need to press here to continue. Player need to understand this from your game flow. So good thing is to notice where players stopped. They don't know how to do. And this is not a solution to help them in the festival to say, you should go there. You should notice this and improve this system.
Mm-hmm. And then when they just ended the play, we had a small talk with them. So just, what do you like? What do you don't like? How is your feeling about the game? And it's cool that we often get the same reviews. It's just light, funny, ironical story, good art, good writings. And we've got some criticism on art. And one person was very...
very interesting guy, yeah.
How I could say
that? He had criticized in mind that can say things directly right to you, mm-hmm. just harshful truth. And it was very interesting too, because he had a lot of criticism of our game, for example, that he already saw, he said, all this stuff we made in other games, for example, visual novels. This is not so new. Dialogues. This is not awesome like in Disco Elysium, because me as a writer, I'm not so skilled. I'm only learning. So this was interesting too, to back on the ground and to hear opposite opinion of what we heard. Because for me, it was a signal that we need to think more, to do more unique things and to search. Maybe someone did this before us, so we will be not unique. We can use their experience and build something on top of this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it, more than ever now is great for brutal honesty, but like in a way that's constructive, right? That's the difference with the internet. You put your game out there, people love to rip immediately,
yeah.
but offer no solutions, right? They just love like hating on your game, and so it's very difficult. I don't think. I think Reddit, if anything, gives a lot of attention to the right people, but then you gotta be, careful. Well, I guess like ignoring all the hateful. You gotta look past the hateful comments to look for the good people out there who are just.
But you know, surprisingly, we didn't have a lot of hate. At all, maybe some, but very small amount. This was surprising for me. I sometimes thought, why we don't have a lot of hate? This is strange.
it's surprisingly because it's a visual novel about dinosaurs, and it's pixel art. It's so much points where you can hate the game, but it just is just no, it's nobody will hate it
because we don't have fame and a lot of fans, so nobody can hate us. You know,
it's a good it's definitely a good problem to have, in my opinion, because I've met so many developers or just creators in general in any industry, and it can really bring you down, especially if you're just trying to, like, you know, you're presenting your baby to the world and you know you don't want it to be completely killed off.
It's like, I worked with an artist. It's a girl who was drawing some arts for a game, and she's very sensitive for hate speech in the comments. So I think one hater's comment can paralyze her for a month of work. So it's very sensitive art persons. You can let hit there.
You know,
I think for creatives, it's all like that.
Successful people say, if you have haters, you have fans.
Yes.
I think
we need to take more haters.
Yeah. I think a product that is divisive, having both extremities of hateful comments and then like very well liked comments is always, I feel, is the best type of product. Just having that type of discussion. Sure. It's like hate it or love it type.
Yeah, you know. Yeah, because I think art itself, it need to be a little bit controversy to develop new horizons for people to give a new perspective. So if you don't have a lot hate, this maybe tells that something that you do not so new.
Yeah, not innovative. So the working situation, right? So obviously back at the university, I'm assuming you guys were in the same dorm or at least near each other working your asses off for the first game. Fast forward 7 years later, I'm assuming you guys are living separately together. I mean, I don't know what the situation is, but like things are obviously different, right? Working on a game. Can you kind of explain the differences? Just, you know, how are you guys communicating day to day versus how it was back then? Is it easier? Is it harder? What kind of adjustments you guys are making now? Like life is happening with the kid and being married and everything.
I think the most time of the development we were in the same city, but for a year or half of a year we were in different cities, and this time was very hard to communicate because when we are having these meetups, we can discuss and we can create more ideas with the personal meetings. Right now, yeah, we are living in the same city again, and it's more helpful to communicate because we can meet every 2 weeks, every 3 weeks, just to discuss some ideas, just to resolve some game dev problems. And this is very handy to make these meetings more often because when you are a separate team, this internet talks is not the same like personal meetings.
I would like to ask you this because we're living in a time, at least in the States, right? There's because of the pandemic, a lot of people are working from home, but now we're switching basically back to the office. A lot of people are going back to the office. A lot of the reasons you guys are talking about. And there are still a lot of resistance on this side, saying that remote works, it's fine, nothing's wrong with it. But it's always interesting to kind of hear the originators, you know, because I do, at least for the game industry, indie creators like yourself, your team, are the original remote workers. You know, a lot of these teams, smaller teams, are in different countries, you know, in different cities, because you're just trying to get the right people, but they don't always live next to each other. And now that you guys have experienced kind of both things, if you have, let me propose this, like if you guys had a choice where, you know, the wife is fine, the kids are fine, or your own personal situation didn't matter as much, if you guys had a choice to be in an office together to work on Dino Punk or the next game, would you guys choose that 100%, or would it be more hybrid, or would it be just the same as now? Like, this is fine.
I think for me, it's will work hybrid thing. So maybe meeting 2 days a week in office, so we can discuss some things live, and we'll be on the same track. But all other 3 days, we can work remotely.
I can say that me personally is a remote worker from my heart because all my life I remotely worker, and I agree that 2 times per week it's a good amount of meetings to stay in the line of development. So if we can meet in some coworkers or some rent office, it will be just perfect, I think, because a special place with this soul of game development will bring the needed vibe of game development, I think.
I think, yeah, I feel the same sentiment. As creative people, we kind of feed off each other, and being next to each other, there's something magical that happens with creatives to kind of brainstorm
easily. Yes, I'm agreed.
Yeah, and sometimes it's the right motivations to kind of kick back. He goes, oh yeah, this is why we fell in love with this idea. You know, it's just we're smiling, we're laughing. A lot of this Zoom call, what I found and am reading, is that we're not used to just, you know, seeing just this, right? Because you're looking in person. Yes. You're looking at the body language, your hands, your feet. You know, you're not just looking at the face the whole time.
And right? Plus, you have some delay with connection. This is not too good for communication. So in live communication, you can maybe interrupt each other in a good way. So the communication get more live. And in our interview, we need to wait, calm down ourselves a bit, wait for response, and this is fine, but cut off a bit of liveness.
Yes.
Yeah. And in real meetings, you can just walk from one corner to other corner just to shake your mind.
Yeah, you can, if you disagree with your comments, you can just make fight.
Yeah, there is like a, I'm not locked in my chair to talk with you, right? I can walk around. Mm-hmm. There is something to that for sure. So let's talk about Dynapunk, right? What was the original inspiration behind this game? You guys, you finished Double, you put it out there. How long in between did you guys finally get started on Dynapunk?
A month.
Yeah, I remember it was almost recently, almost immediate. We just take a small breath and saw that we want to continue this interesting journey. So the origin of this idea was very interesting, and it sounds very funny from this perspective now, because why we chose to make some kind of visual novel with gameplay stuff, because we thought this will be quite easy thing to do, not a lot of gameplay. Visual novel stuff is not so hard to develop. Okay, we can try it. So here we are after 4 years of development and finally releasing this.
So I think the funny story is that we made a research and we found that there were 3 tags that are very popular in these days. Dinosaurs, bartending, and cyberpunk. And we
simulations.
And we have thought how to combine this in one game. And so here we have a Dynapunk, where you have a repair shop, simulator, dinosaurs, and cyberpunk. Okay, we've done it. Do people need it? I don't know. Maybe
we'll see. For now, it's not so clear.
Yeah.
It speaks to you guys' experience and maturity, it feels like, right? The marketing research aspect of it, you know, looking for, you know, what's happening, and not just purely just trying to build whatever you guys feel like, right? It's like, let's keep in mind, we're trying to sell this as a product. Did you guys always have that, or was it just, you know, just by developing the first game, you guys were thinking about how to go about this differently? Where did that come from?
I assume that this have come after our first project, because maybe Ramon can correct me, but as for me, I see we put a lot of our efforts and heart in our first project, and we saw that it not gained much attention, not gained much sales. And we became to think why we put so much efforts. And this was a lot of research after this, because when you do a lot of efforts and it will not make so much feedback as you expect, you think there is something we're missing. So this is a huge, maybe negative experience, but I would not say that it was negative. It just was impactful. So after this, we have some mind shift. And after finishing Dynapunk, we have also second mind shift, because we noticed that you need to develop more pop, you know, genre, popular, because you can't, you need to know that most of the people play a game not for only unique stuff. They just saw some similar stuff they play sometime. And so they think, okay, this is something usual to me. I don't want to push myself so hard to learn new thing. I just want to relax. Mm-hmm. So you need to notice some popular things. And after that, only after that, you can add something unique on top of that. But if you just not so experienced indie developer, this is a very rare situation that you make something unique that's only on your mind and it will blow up. People will be just scared of your uniqueness. They will not want to learn something totally new, because games is just hobby, spare time, and not hard work for players.
Yeah.
I think, as Andrew said, that this was a step-by-step process, because before development of Double, we hadn't any knowledge about marketing, about analyzing stuff, and we just did it and pull it on Steam. So it was just our first experience. Then we started to learn on our mistakes, and then we start to analyze what may be possibly popular for a player as a game. So we thought visual novel is kind of good start for us, and we did it. Now when Dynapunk is finished, we have much more experience and we are better know where to look, what to look at, and how to
I just, you know, why I'm laughing. This is very stupid. I heard Roman said we started to analyze, and I separated this word to analyze.
So yeah,
but, sorry.
where we stopped? And I think we learned how to do interesting game for both of us,
yeah,
just to have a passion to make it, and how to make this game more usual to the player. Yeah. So it's just like we make a usual roguelike game, but with our unique ideas in it. So when the player looks at our screenshots, he is finding a usual roguelike game that he likes. He downloads it, and wow, it has unique ideas. I like it.
There's definitely something to that for sure. I think I read something recently that was that leans towards to what you guys are saying, where people connect with things they're familiar with, like 80% of the game or whatever, and then they are more open to kind of discover new things, right? New mechanics that you guys are introducing. It's just how people are. People just usually are not tend not to want to try new things, right? They kind of get baited into familiar things and then explore the newer things for sure.
Yeah, you know, there was interesting moment I noticed in my life. I was driving with one of my mates after playing volleyball, and he was tired and he was listening to his music in the car, just random stations, you know, from internet, and radio station turned on for him new music, and he said, "Oh, I'm so tired now for listening to something new. I just want to listen to something similar." And I thought this is very common situation for most of people with games. Most of people just tired from work on other life stuff, so they need something usual, kind of.
Yeah, it's like if you are playing first-person shooters and you just want something new, you are searching for first-person shooters, but with some new mechanics.
Exactly. Yeah, I think another thing that you guys were speaking to, you know, learning from the mistakes, building off of that, getting better, right? One of the things that I see often with any developers is that they stop too early, right? They just like after one game, one hit, it's like, oh, we tried everything. It's time to like just, we just don't have it. But I've seen many, many times the one that are doing their second game, third game, fourth game, right? They're the successful ones because they are building off of, you know, they're building up their fan base, they're building off of their the lessons learned, they're getting better. And they're getting faster, right? And they're putting in more quality. And it's unfortunate that a lot of potential, you know, get wasted because they just like, well, we'll only do one game. And if it doesn't work, it doesn't work. It's like winning the lottery, right? It's like,
you know, it's yeah, almost it's almost like a rule of life, I think, because if maybe game development or other stuff will be so easy, it will be too overcrowded, and this cannot be happening. Just so I think this limitation in all life areas, you need to push you so hard to stand out from, you know, middle level. Otherwise, everyone will be doing awesome stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think releasing your first game, if you are not experienced guy, it's like a random result. You can't rely on it because when you do a game for a full release on Steam just for the first time, you can't think that you will be popular for sure. You will have millions of sales. No, it's just not how it works. Huge percent will be on the side that you will not be noticed at all. It's just for experience. It's just to understand that you are able to make a game from scratch to finish and push it to this team, get some reviews, and you finish this way. You are able to do it. So just take your power and make it a game, but better, bigger, and with the own experience that you've get. If you are just relying on your one game, I will try it. If it's not, I'm go off with development. It's not a serious thing. There was analytics I read. It said that the most popular indie developers,
they become popular after their third project.
It's just the statistics. It's just dry statistics that the most popular indie developers became popular after a third project. So if you're doing just one game, so it's like throw a stone to the wall and have a dream that you will be a millionaire because of that. It's just nonsense.
Right. It definitely, like you said, if it was easy, everybody would be successful and rich. And
do it the first try, right? Sure.
Like in some pushing to the limit.
Yeah.
So we will not be banned for that.
So obviously, you know, the difference of shipping the first game and the second game, you guys are feeling it right now. You guys are more like, we've been through this before, a little bit more experienced. I mean, in terms of publishing, you know, was Steam always the place you guys were going to put it, or do you guys look at other options? You know, are there other options nowadays that are coming up where you guys say that's interesting, that are alternatives to Steam, where you guys considered self-publishing on those platforms instead?
No, self-publishing is a bit hard when you don't have a lot of resources in your hands because you need localization for different languages. This is very, it takes a lot of money. You need QA. You need some other stuff that takes money. So I think self-publishing can be only when you're pretty sure that you made very successful game or when you have some resources. So for now, self-publishing was not an option for us. But as for other platforms, that's the thing, Roman can continue. So
Oh yeah, I think what I can say about Dynapunk and other platforms, Steam is the biggest platform for the game selling, and of course we was planning to release in it. So on the other hand, we have Epic Game Store and maybe GOG, how it talks. Yeah. Uh-huh. So we were not released on these platforms yet, but we are planning. So, and of course,
but it will not make big sales, as we know. This yeah. Epic Games is just some kind of small addings.
Right. But as we learned from our publisher, what can give you a huge push of sales is porting your game on mobile platforms if your right. game is fit on it. So we have a visual novel, and we played Dynapunk on handheld with sensor screen. So it plays very good. You can cut shapes by your finger. You can just tap to skip dialogues. And it's very common to play on Steam Deck. We tried it. So if we will release it on Switch, it can be very good for our sales. But we just need to make our publisher support it.
Yeah, because to assure that publisher that he will get some additional money from sales on Switch, because for publisher, it's all about business and money.
Of course. Where were you guys in development before you connected with your publisher on Dynapunk? Was it a year in? Were you guys constantly looking for publishers? Did it happen just at the show? I mean, what was that story about?
It was a very long story. Yeah. So this was stuff I made it. Think I made is just first find a lot of publisher that can possibly take us on board. For example, that have same project as us, have same quality and all the other stuff. And write down a mail to them and iterate quality of this mail, because my first mails was just picture and our brief explanation of Dynapunk. It was not working well, and we started to research how to make it better. I found some tips, watched some videos, found some tutorials. And after that, we have made just PowerPoint thing with key features, with beautiful art and all this stuff. So we need to impress publisher with images, because when some person opens your mail, he does want to read a lot of text, how awesome is your game. He need to immediately be like, wow, this is interesting. And the best way to do this is just visual things. Mm-hmm. So it was about an year, it's about a year. I constantly send in these mails. And for, I think, 8 months, we didn't receive any response. These mails were just send it and never answered. Mm-hmm. So this was very demotivational, but the thing in this stuff, I think, is to take a break. So when I understand that I just tired of these things, it will not get anything. I just forgot about it maybe in a week. And after some rest, I feel, okay, I can do this again. Mm-hmm. I can try it again. And this is very helpful stuff in all things of life. You just rest, and after that, think, okay, I'll try again. Okay, I'll try again. And after a year, we had some conversations with nice publishers and get some reaction, because we constantly learn from our mistakes and improve our pitch. Mm-hmm. So after talking with several publishers, we choose one. This was a celebration.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. This was a long way because we had several publishers at the same time, and we was needed to
to look for benefits from
what's better.
Yeah.
What can be better for us? And one publisher can give this, one publisher can give that. And it was a tough choice to do, but we made it. And now we have a publisher who made tests for us, QA, localization, and
some marketing stuff.
Marketing stuff, yeah. So it was a tough way, but the result is better than we had with Double.
Yeah. I mean, that's fantastic. So it was just zero answers for 8 months to a year, and then suddenly you had multiple offers.
Yes.
Was there something specific that you guys did differently to kind of make that jump?
I can say that we made a PowerPoint presentation.
Oh, so before it was just email and...
Yes. And with memes. We put a lot of memes about our game. And I made in After Effects some unique memes about our Dynapon game and common usual memes that you can see in at this time. So it was like, it was good. I think this meme with Chinese guy, it's like, it's a pen, it's an apple pen. And we made it's a dino punk and animation preview. That was a stupid good joke.
Yeah, you need to know that always your message will open person, and you need to get to the emotions of this person. So he will bring your game to other staff of the company. Mm-hmm. So it's all about personal interaction with the people, this person that you don't even see, but hopefully you can have some impact emotional on this person
to care about your product. And
yeah.
Or a clip is better than just a bunch of words. Yeah,
I can say that you should not do official emails when you're indie. Yes, maybe when you're a big company, but when you're indie, you should be as much personal as you can.
Right.
And I can be sure that most of our contacts starts the dialogue with the phrase "I love dinosaurs," and I think the most talks with developers were because of that reason. Because the person who read our emails just loved dinosaurs and just go to CEO and and say this game is good. It's about dinosaurs. Let's publish it.
It definitely helps. It's a weird, yeah. I mean, you put it out there, you know, there are people that connect it more than others. And the unbelievable ability for you guys to keep trying. And I think the adjustment was what made it work finally. But that only can happen through experience of failing and then taking a second. And
Not work. Take a rest. Always take a rest when you're tired. Just not put yourself on the wall. Take rest, and only after that, try again.
Yeah. And I think that's a lot of stuff that people tend to do, where they're just constantly... There's this weird misunderstanding of, like, you know, just keep trying, it's going to happen. And the problem is, like, people keep trying the same thing, and they don't adjust.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Yeah,
and I think a lot of people don't understand that part. It's like, you keep trying, but you got to sit back and analyze the data and then keep trying. Don't keep doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result, which is
several days ago we had a thought that the better result you get when you think and do at the same time. You can just do and you do the same over and over again, and you can think and you just do nothing. But when you think and do, you can get a really good result of it.
Definitely.
Deep philosophy stuff. You know, think about it.
This is fantastic. I feel like the industry are driven by innovators, by smaller teams like yourselves. All the big games nowadays, like Warzone or whatever, kind of take the concept from small indie developers. You know, PUBG came from a mod, right? So, and then obviously spawned Fortnite and Warzone and all these battle royale games. You can say that to almost every big game that's out there right now. They kind of borrow from innovators, and a lot of it's from smaller teams going through these trials of hard work and figuring out something unique and then putting it out there. And then, you know, when it becomes successful, the big guys steal it.
But yeah, you need to remember the one who that thing received $10. The one who can sell things receives $100.
Yes.
It's a golden rule. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I want to thank you. We have hit the hour mark. Hopefully it was painless.
It was very pleasurable.
Yeah. And this is the part where I actually shut up and hand the mic over to you guys so you can talk directly to the listeners and viewers out there about whatever you want to talk about. You know, the game, bring attention to a particular topic. You know, this is the mic is yours for you guys to kind of talk directly to the people out there.
Sure, it's cool. I think we can make some good advices for startup developers, just simple tips.
You can start and I will go.
Yeah, I think I can recap myself because as we said earlier, it's not a common thing to become popular from your first game because you saw that some Undertale game was popular, that PUBG was popular. Mostly, as a game developer, you will not become this kind of developer. So you just need to be prepared to make game development as your everyday hobby for the first time. And then you have a chance to make this as your everyday job with a good profit, with a chance to develop a studio. And to hire some freelancers. But for now, and for several future years, if you don't have a good budget, if you don't have a good team, if you don't a CEO of Ubisoft company, you just need to go through this experience and to be prepared that this experience will be hard sometimes, and you need somebody to talk about that. So I think open mind and ready for the hard parts is the best key for the good future of your game development life.
Yeah, you said pretty much stuff I want to say, but maybe I can say it from a different angle that you as a creator always find yourself in a bubble. You can think that your game is awesome, or maybe you can start with some ideas that will not work. So I think all the creators tend to do this kind of mistake. So you always need to search for feedback from other people and always want to improve yourself and your game. No, it's good to make it some kind of lifestyle, constant improving to enjoy this. It shouldn't be think like, oh God, my game is so bad. I had some mistakes. I don't know what to do. You need to accept this and get enjoy from this. You show someone your game. They said this stuff is not understandable. This is messed up. And you should say, wow, this is great. I can improve and get enjoyment of this because you make better game. You made from yourself a better specialist, maybe even a better person in some kind of way. Mm-hmm. So always changing in a better way and always try to look at what you do from other people's perspective. I think that's all.
Yeah, that's a good point. And one more thing, I think I can say that it's a very helpful thing to love to solve problems in your life, in your game dev, in your study, because when you are passionate of solving your problems, you are not afraid of it. And when you showcase your game and a lot of people say that your art is bad,
there is no proportion, there is no composition in it. So you are taking it as a problem. And if you are ready to solve it, you are ready to solve it. You will not get mad at it. You will not stuck in yourself. You just know this is problem. I know that I can solve a problem, any problem. And I love it because after solving it, the game will be better. I will be better and I'll get experience that will help me to build better games and maybe become a better person in general. So don't afraid to make mistakes, learn, and that's cool. You will be a better person, I think. I hope.
And have fun.
Of course. Game development is a hard time, but have fun.
Yes, have fun. I think I find myself, I'm a little older than you guys, but like I found myself throughout my career, I'm trying to get back to basically my college self, mm-hmm. you know, why it's I got cool. into games, basically.
Because so are you an indie developer by yourself too?
No, so I'm going back to that. So I run a studio now, but like I spent my years being like in AAA, basically, you know, because that's, you know, that was, you know, back then, right? But I kind of lost my way because in college, I've always just wanted to create my own game, right? I mean, that's why we go into games. It's like, we didn't go into games to like, I want to create games for other, from other people's idea. I want to create my own ideas into games, right? But I spent a good amount of my years helping other people make their games. And then I'm finally going back to my college self where I'm like, oh yeah, I kind of want to make my own game.
It's never late, you know, it's never late. That's you can start it, you can beat it at any time. And it's good that it's very good that you are feeling as an artist after this years
of it's finding myself.
The thing in the way you can you will get enjoyment if you will get to this. Just doing it, it will, that's why it's never too late, because it's just like process. You can be maybe 40 years old. If you enjoy this path, it doesn't matter how old are you.
Right.
Definitely. You know, I really motivated when I see artists who are really old. It's like 70 years, 80 years, and they are just continue to make arts because they just love it. And I don't know, I feel like they feel themselves young when they do it because it's like you live doing what you want and this is the best life you can get.
Yeah. And I think that's, I'm beginning to feel like that's the soul of a artist or a creative, is that you're trying to reconnect to the kid version of yourself.
it's a good idea. Yes.
Yeah. Well, thank you guys for coming on. Super inspirational. Obviously, you know, the game is out, right? For those who are looking to find it, right? Go into the link pages and find these guys and support them, right? I'm looking forward to your next game. All right.
Sure.
And many we games after that. But thank you guys for coming on. It was a pleasure talking to you.
Thank you too, and good luck with your projects and all this stuff. You can do it.
I believe.
We believe in you. Yes.
All right. Well, thank you guys. See you guys all next week. Hello, everybody. Brandon here. I want to talk to you today about something very special. We've been on this wild ride together, haven't we? From my early days as a senior employee, feeling a bit lost, all the way to leading multiple studios, transitioning to smaller indie teams and to the mobile industry, and now running my own game studio for the last 6 years. Throughout this time, you've been here listening and learning along with me, sharing this never-ending journey of discovery. This year, I'm kind of on this quest of meeting serial studio founders, discussing acquisitions, or exploring what it takes to grow a studio to over 100 developers. I've always tried to find an exciting topic to delve into, and every year is a little different. The focus is a little different because that's where I am in my career currently, and I want to be able to share what I'm learning with you guys. So I've always been dedicated to asking the tough questions, bringing you insightful answers from industry leaders and experts, And now I want to share with you how I'm applying these answers to my own journey. This is why I'm excited to announce that for just $1.99 per month, you can now subscribe to our exclusive content series. These bonus episodes will give you a deeper look into my personal experiences and how I'm putting into practice what our esteemed guests are preaching. It's more of a personal side of the journey that I hope will show you that we're all in this together and we're all continuously learning. Whether you're a game developer, studio founder, or just a passionate gamer, there's something in it for everyone. By subscribing, not only will you gain access to this exclusive content, but you'll also be supporting the ongoing production of the regular programming. It helps keeps the lights on and ensures that I can continue bringing you top quality content and insight into the world of game development. The links to subscribe are in the description. Your support means the world to me and helps me keep doing what I love, sharing this journey with you. So show some love, hit that subscribe button, and let's continue this adventure together. Thank you all for your continued support. And as always, stay tuned for more exciting content. Until next time, this is Brandon, signing off.